I didn't get shamed for saying it.
No, you're allowed to say it.
Good. Because I will be saying it.
I know you will. And I love it. It's amazing.
24 episodes later and I'm still saying it. I'm yes, just not allowed to say whatever this fucking said
You snuck that in there, you little sneaker you.
Little slithery snake.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Gail.
I'm Daphne, and we're That's Disturbing.
We are That's Disturbing.
Yeah, we're very disturbing.
Yes, we are.
In our own rights. Well, I feel like we're not, like, that disturbing. We're just, like, oh, kind of disturbing.
Like, personally or the stories yes. we're telling?
Yes and yes.
Okay, so yes to all of the above.
Yes to all of the above. Check all of the above if applicable.
Got it. None of those are N-A.
Nope, none of them. Oh. Only applicable.
Only applicable. Alrighty yes. then.
Yes, yes, yes. What's new, Mom?
I don't know. Do you have anything, any like pre-housekeeping keeping?
Oh, actually, I do have some pre-housekeeping keeping.
Okay.
Because when I was making the Instagram post for part two, I went, oh, fuck. I forgot two of the women whose pictures, like, I could find. And then I just didn't put them in there in the Instagram post. So I'll add those to part three when the episode goes live.
Oh, okay. So, like, the one you did now.
Yes, the one I just did today.
Okay. All right. I thought
the
you
meant... Instagram post.
Okay. Then, and I can't stop thinking about the fact that this fucker kept getting out.
Yeah. That's what a fucker he is.
Yeah, that just really is, it's bothering me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I guess I can say it now because we're talking about pre-housekeeping. that I feel like, I've been telling my mom about this, that I just feel like really guilty while covering this because I want there to be more information out there, right? Like we all do. We all want there to be solved cases, have more information on these people, have anything further than just his gory details. And unfortunately, for a lot of it, that's all there is. And so it makes me feel guilty, but I feel like I'm trying to do the best I can do with the information that is readily available to me because the police don't even know who half these people are. So how am I going to know?
I think you're doing the best you can. It's just the way it is sometimes. And I get the guilt. I get the guilt part of it because like you have all this fucking information about the stupid motherfucker that did this. But you don't have all the information about the people he did it to. But the reason you have all the information about the stupid fucker who did it. It's because he got caught and then confessed and told his whole fucking life story. And so that's how you know. But the people that he killed, they didn't get the opportunity to
share their stories. Or even their names.
Right.
Because he fucking killed them. Dirty piece of shit.
Yeah. This one's really like really bothering me.
Yeah. This is our last part because it is also bothering me. I could have probably broken what I have today into two pieces and included 100 times the goriness that I did and the just fucking gruesomeness and the awfulness. But I opted for the information that I do have on some of them, just letting that be and not like including his whole confession like I did in part one. Because after part one, I felt really heavy and like just kind of gross and disgusting.
Yeah.
And so, but I also didn't just like want to stop doing this, you know?
Right.
I was like, I need to see this one through.
I understand.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what he did to these women. So you don't have to say it over and over and over again because he did the same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
He didn't ever change his MO.
No. Well, we do have one today that he switched.
Okay. But, well, then you'll have to give those details.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like I have some details in this episode today, not the nitty gritty, like what he describes everything to be.
That's good. I don't think we need the nitty gritty.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Especially because we got it in the first episode. We get the gist, you know?
Yeah. I was just like, I can't have another night of just being like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Even though you will be anyway.
Yeah.
This one really sticks with me a lot.
Yeah, me too. It's just such bullshit that just because these were more vulnerable communities that he targeted that, you know, I don't want to say less work was done, but less work was done.
Okay.
Like for people trying to bring justice and like not even all the bodies were found and they could have just kept him in prison and a lot of these would have been avoided.
Well, right. That's where my anger comes from is that
if they would have just kept him.
Yeah. Especially at the time that they kept him for 2 years for a legitimate physical assault and body and like, but that victim just didn't matter.
Right.
And so yeah,
it's so fucked up.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, just don't do it again. And he's like, cool, I won't, let me out.
Right. Just got literally a slap on the wrist for what he did.
Yeah. It's so terrible. I hate it.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, he's dead. So that's good.
Yeah.
But
I hope he's fucking stepping in gum every 10 seconds. Because I feel like pieces of shit like that deserve to just step in gum.
And then some.
Because have you ever stepped in gum? That's real fucking annoying. That'll like ruin your entire day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Especially on a hot day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, wet, sticky piece of gum.
Right. That gets every all over single everything.
Step.
Fucker.
In his blue Cadillac. In his raggedy old blue Cadillac.
Yeah, there you go.
So what do you have for me today, Mom? What's your disturbing fact?
Okay, my disturbing fact is that did you know that snails, freshwater snails, are more deadly than crocodiles, snakes, sharks, alligators, hippopotamuses, all of the dangerous things put together?
Escargot?
Escargot.
Well, fuck. I guess I gotta stop eating that.
Although, is escargot freshwater snails or are they saltwater snails?
I couldn't tell you. Like freshwater snails like that live in our pond?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. How do they do this?
They're deadly as fuck.
Why?
Because.
Like their secretion? I put snail mucin on my skin. That's a problem.
Oh, yeah. You might want to stop doing that.
And I got it from TikTok. The fuck?
Well, you know, just because it's on TikTok doesn't mean it's legitimate it is. And it's or true. Saved.
Yeah,
saved.
It's true if it's on TikTok. Don't lie.
Okay, well, maybe it's true, but wait till you hear this.
Because everything they put on the internet is true.
Everything. Okay, so wait till you hear this. The problem with freshwater snails is that they carry a helminth, which is a worm, and it causes
schistosomiasis
is what it causes.
Sorry, I said myosin.
A.K.A. bilharzia. A.K.A. snail fever.
Okay.
And so what that is, okay, so the snail has this worm in it, right? This larvae of this worm. What happens is that the eggs from the worm hatch into water and then like lake water, pond water, whatever, and it gets absorbed.
Still water.
Well, no, because lakes aren't necessarily still. Anyways.
Well, I've never seen a snail by a river.
You don't even know about river snails. The larvae shed their eggs and then the eggs can be absorbed through the human skin. When it's absorbed into the human skin, then the larvae hatch inside people and they live in your liver, your lungs, in your bloodstream. Like it's
That's
bad.
That's disgusting.
It's bad. And you know what happens? Okay, so how it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going is that someone who's infected may not know that they're infected. And so they go to the water and they go pee in the water and they shed the eggs. They shed from the thing, from their body, not the thing, from their body.
Through their urine.
Right, through their urine. And then the snails are the host of it. So then those eggs go into the snail. Like, none of it would happen without the snail. The snail is the host. And so it's estimated that it kills between 20,000 to 200,000 people a year. Because if Jesus. It's left untreated, it is
deadly.
How do
deadly. They treat it?
They just treat it with regular...
Why with that? Regular?
With medicine.
With that stuff.
Yeah, it's something that's super common, actually, that they can treat it with.
They're and vibing on that Zyrtec.
Oh, praziquantol.
So and that means what?
Well, it's super common. So, or ivermectin. So like what they use for like heartworm dogs and stuff like that.
Oh, I've heard of that.
So ivermectin. It kills like the, but praziquantel is the drug. So it kills the eggs. So you have to like do it in multiple cycles because you'll have eggs that are still hatching. And so you have to.
So you can't just like take a dewormer?
Well, I guess this is a dewormer, but you have to do it like every 21 days because that's the life cycle of the worm.
No Paragard?
There you go. But if it goes undiagnosed, then it gets in your bloodstream, gets in your lungs, gets in your heart, gets in your liver, makes you dead.
Shit, I wonder if I have this because sometimes I wake up feeling dead.
It's more common in like Africa, Asia.
Oh, like, so I better check myself.
Yeah, don't swim in any lakes when you go to Africa.
Okay.
All right.
Noted.
So I thought that was pretty crazy though.
That's disgusting.
That snails are more deadly
than disturbing. That is fucking nasty.
Sorry.
I thought snails were so cool. Now I'm like, ugh. Fuck you, snails. I better find out if what escargot comes from.
Yeah. Do you want me to pause it and we'll find out?
Yes, please. Because okay. I love escargot.
Okay. Okay, here's the answer. Escargot in its purest form is a snail served in its shell, or in France, it can simply just refer to as a single snail. While there are, of course, snails in both bodies of water, so fresh and salt, and on land. Land snails are the ones sourced for escargot and other snail-based dishes. I didn't know that there were other snail-based dishes, but that sounds gross and I won't be eating them.
Yeah, I don't know if I could part ways with escargot.
Yeah, but if you order something and
it's boiled to death.
I know, but I don't know. If you order something and then it's like with essence of snail. I'm not having that. I'm not ordering that.
With an essence of snail.
I'll order something
snail
else.
Snail mucin.
I'll order something else off the menu.
I don't know. I feel like
no snail-based dishes for me. Let's just say that.
I feel like I won't go swimming in any lakes or still waters in Africa or Asia anytime soon.
Yeah, that's probably a solid plan.
Yeah, I definitely won't be doing that when I'm in Africa anyway because of all of the crocs and I don't know if they have gators. I think they're just crocodiles over there.
Right, but clearly the snails are what you really should be afraid of.
Yeah, clearly. Even more than hippos.
And crocs.
Even more than hippos.
And sharks.
In the lakes? They don't have sharks in lakes.
No, but there's ocean all around Africa. And
I'm not going to any fucking borders.
Oh, okay. You're going to Central Africa. My bad.
Yeah, I'm going on a safari in Kenya.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
It's landlocked.
Yeah. Can you not?
Are you from Africa? Because can you not? You missed half the joke.
Sorry. That's typical.
That is typical. All right. Thank you.
For that thank you.
Disgusting fact.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Although I'm still probably going to eat escargot.
But to be honest, I think that snail-based dishes are more nasty than a parasite that a snail will give you.
I don't. Ugh. I'm disgusting like that, though.
I can't.
See why I said we were disturbing in the beginning? Because I'm like, I'm okay with that. I won't eat pork, but...
Right.
Give me a snail with a deadly disease. It's a deadly worm in it. I could devour that real quick.
I'm all over that shit.
Raw, fresh, you name it. I got it.
Oof.
No, not raw. Just kidding. That actually sounds disgusting. Like a fucking slippery wet gummy bear.
Ugh.
It's been like soaking in water for 20 minutes.
Gross. Okay, shall we move on with our lives?
Except I'd have to put like a piece of pretzel on the outside of it for that shell crunch.
Now, shall we move on with our lives?
Okay, so we're going to be doing part 3 of Samuel Little. Surprise, surprise.
And it's the last part, you
said. It's the last part, yeah.
Okay.
Just because I didn't want to... Yeah, I just didn't want to reopen some of the other victims that we already talked about. So if you missed parts 1 and parts 2, go listen to those. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense to you. But we're kind of going to pick up where we left off last time. Pick off where we left off.
Pick off where we left off.
But first, I just want to go over his confirmed victims again.
Okay.
And these are the ones that he's been convicted for. Anna Stewart, he was convicted on August 23rd, 2019. Mary Jo Payton, she's one of the ones I forgot in the Instagram post. He was convicted of murdering her August 23rd, 2019. Carol Alford, convicted September 25th, 2014. Guadalupe Apodaca, convicted September 25th, 2014. Audrey Nelson, convicted September 25th, 2014. The Jane Doe found in Cincinnati, he was convicted of her death August 23rd, 2019. Rose Evans, he was convicted of her death August 23rd, 2019. She's the other one I forgot in the Instagram post.
Okay.
And it's just those two. That's for the pictures that we had, you know, obviously, like we discussed last time, that there was, sorry, can't use my words. There were Brenda Alexander. Like, there was no information about her whatsoever. We just had her name, right? Right. Like, there were also no pictures of her.
Okay.
So, like, couldn't get her pictures. But I forgot those two. And I literally had them saved, too. I don't know why I forgot them. But unfortunately, you can't go back in and add pictures.
Well, you'll add them to the next post.
I will add them to the next post. Oh, and also I got smart and decided to start labeling the pictures in the post for this, for the part 2 Instagram post. I was like, instead of having a super drawn out caption, I was like, I think I'll just put it in the picture.
Yeah, I think that helps too.
I think it does too, being able to be like, okay, that's that person. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, of his convicted people that he murdered, or who he got convicted of murdering, mm-hmm. was Denise Christie Brothers. And he was convicted on December 13th, 2018. And honestly, I think she's the most like known, most well-known one of his victims.
Why?
Just given everything that I've found. And there's like the most information also on her.
Okay.
And her death and who she was.
All right. So how many people was he convicted of in total? Is that only eight? Or am I over?
That's only eight.
Okay.
So he was only convicted of eight. He was like tested against 60 murders or 60 cases. And then he confessed to 93. So.
Okay. But they could only convict him for eight.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Which honestly sucks. But at least he gave the confessions for the rest. I know it sucks that I keep saying that because I feel sucky when I keep saying that. But without him giving these confessions, we wouldn't know any of these things.
We would not.
So at least he did that, even though he's still a dirty piece of shit. At least he did those things.
Yeah. He would have taken him to his grave and nobody would ever know.
Right. So now we're going to go over. This is mostly in timed order, except for I left out almost all except for one case of the L.A. murders. These are all of his suspected murders. These are all the women he's suspected of killing, right? Mm-hmm. And this is all in chronological order. However, you'll understand when we get to it. But there's one I believe that I left out in L.A. because I couldn't find her in any of my notes because she had a name that he thought that she thought he went or that he thought that she went by. And I couldn't find that in my L.A. notes.
OK.
And so I don't think I included that. But anyway, these are all the women he suspected of murdering. Mary Jo Brosley. She was killed December 31st, 1971 in Homestead, Florida, and she was a white female, approximately 33 years old, and little sketched her.
1971?
We're getting even fucking earlier.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I hate him.
I know. Me too. He's the worst.
He's, like, really sick. Obviously, he's really sick. But, like, how do you just keep killing and keep killing and keep killing and keep killing and keep killing? I'm not going to say it 93 times, but.
Yeah, but that's how many. Repeat 93 times.
Yeah, that's, wow. I hate it.
Yeah, he's the absolute fucking worst. And like I said at the top of this, I left out a lot of, like, the, we all, like, we know he strangled them all to death, right? A lot of them he raped. I'm leaving that kind of thing out unless I could find some. They were all just awful to read. And so I was like, I don't want to do that again. Mm-hmm. I did that in part one. I did a lot of it in part two. There's some of it here, but given the list of names that I have here and the list of people, even though a lot of them are unnamed, a lot of the people that I have here, I just didn't want to keep working on this like that.
Right.
I was just like, I'll just provide the information, say what I can say about each of these women and not talk about the ickiness.
Okay.
Because, yeah, like I said, we know how they died.
We had enough ickiness in one and two.
We know his MO was strangulation, sometimes rape. Mm-hmm. So next one is, quotes, Linda. So we don't actually know her name, if it was Linda or not, but he thought it was Linda, right? In 1971 in Miami, and she was a black female, approximately 22, and he sketched her. And then our next one is, this is, again, maybe a name. Marianne. And it was either 1971 or 1972 in Miami. And she was a black transgender female. And she was about 18 and he sketched her.
Okay.
Yeah. Dirty fucking piece of shit.
I'm trying not to say wow, because I said it like 800 times in the last one. But that's the words I have. Word. The one word that I have is wow.
Yeah. Or gross or asshole.
Yeah.
Or pig. Or you suck.
Yeah. I just, he's too much.
Yeah. Definitely out there doing the most. Unnamed black female, 1971 or 72, from Miami. And she was possibly affiliated with the Air Force. So okay. That's a little description on her.
Right. Possibly.
Yeah. Unknown white female, 1972, in Prince George's County in Massachusetts. I think it was in Massachusetts. Shoot, I forgot to write that down.
It's okay.
She was approximately 20 to 25. Oh, this is what I have in my notes. His confession was matched to a Jane Doe case, but she's still a Jane Doe. No further information at this moment. She's possibly from Massachusetts. That's why.
Okay.
But or maybe it was Connecticut. I don't know. Somewhere in New England area.
But he killed her there?
He killed her there.
Okay. Because I'm like, he's in Florida.
Or he dumped her body there at least.
Well, he's in Florida and he's in Georgia.
He's a drifter. I told you this. He's all over the fucking place.
Right. I just hadn't really heard that he was up north. But he's from Ohio. So. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And he provided a sketch of this woman. And then we have another unnamed white female, 1973, in Kendall, Florida. She was about 45. And she was from Massachusetts. Or she was possibly from Massachusetts, what it says. And then her name was possibly Sarah. And then our next one, Sarah Brown, again, not for sure her name, but he thinks it was Sarah Brown.
Jeez.
In 1973 in New Orleans, and her age was unknown, and he said that she worked at a local restaurant on Canal Street.
Can't they, like,
fact check some of this shit?
Yeah. Like, he says Sarah Brown this year killed in the city. Can't they look for Sarah Brown that was killed?
I'm afraid, though, because of who these people are, that, you know, they're prostitutes, right? They're maybe known.
She worked in a restaurant.
But maybe she was a druggie or something of that nature, because that's not who he's attracting.
Okay.
That's not his victim type. His victim type are homeless women, prostitutes, doing drugs, something. Right. So maybe she was doing drugs, but maybe that's not somebody like you suspect or that you would suspect to like run away to also be a drifter. So you're not filing a missing persons report.
Okay. Well, that makes sense because he preys on the down on their luck, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. He preys on them when they're down on their luck. Our next one is an unnamed black female, 1974 in Savannah, Georgia. She was about 22 or 23 and he provided a sketch of her. Our next one is an unnamed black female, 1974, in Cincinnati, Ohio. Her age is unknown, and he dumped her body in Columbus, and he provided a sketch of her, and her case is being actively worked on right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's some of these that are being worked on at the moment, and I'll talk about which ones those are, but they are actually working on some of these things.
So you're going to have to check back in
periodically throughout the lifetime of us.
Yes.
Till one of us kicks it first and our podcast ends. So Emily quotes mid-70s from Miami, black female, age 23 or 24, and she possibly worked for the University of Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, weird. And then an unnamed black female, 1975, from Knoxville, Tennessee, and she was about 25. And then unnamed black female, 1976 to 1977-ish. In Wichita Falls, Texas. Her age is unknown. She was dropped off at an undisclosed location near the city, and he sketched her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My eyes just roll, and you can't hear that.
Yeah. You're awfully quiet over there, but I guess what do you say to all of this other than fucking dick?
Right.
Creepy motherfucker.
I keep saying wow, and I don't want to say wow anymore, so I'm just rolling my eyes. Which right. is a good podcast.
Yeah. No, I get it. This is, it's heavy and it's hard. That's why reading half the stuff, I was like, I can't do a lot of this stuff. I was like, I just cannot go through that again. If you want to read up on it, I've left links to everything. If you want to read the gory details on the FBI link that I have, they're broken down with the pictures of the suspected ones, like to match up with his confessions,
mm-hmm.
which I have also posted those on the Instagram. And some of his disgusting words. And also on the Texas Public Safety website that I had too in the show notes, which will also be in the show notes for this episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the FBI one. There's more of just the disgusting stories. And there's fucking interview clips of him with his confessions. And if you're curious and morbid enough to look at those things, then have at it. And I did. I looked at some of them, but just like, it was rough. It was really rough.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's real fucking rough.
Yeah.
So our next one is Joe, quotes, 1976 to 1979, some point, in Grant, and they found her body in Granite City, Illinois. Or I'm, okay, actually, a lot of these, I'm confused. I don't think they found a lot of these women. or like they don't know who this person is, or they don't have anybody that like necessarily matches up. But these are just ones he's confessed to that he's suspected of. So the locations that I'm saying are where he's dumped their bodies.
Okay.
So I guess I should make that more clear right now. And then the years that I'm saying is when he suspected that he killed them.
Right.
Or if I have an exact date, and we know that exact date, and some of them I do have an exact date.
Okay.
That the police have proven, not just him. Because like we talked about in episode one, he was known to be off by more than 10 years and more than 50 miles or something like that. It was 10 years, though, that he was off on some of them.
Yeah. And locations and dates just didn't resonate with him.
Right. But faces and disgusting shit did.
Yeah, exactly.
So Joe, 1976 to 1979, Granite City, Illinois. She was a black female, about 26. And he thinks he picked her up in St. Louis, Missouri. So that means he traveled with her. If he's picking her up in St. Louis and then.
Well, he had another one that he picked up and traveled with because he had her in his RV.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's part of his MO also.
I know. He's a dirty piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Unnamed black female, 1976 to 79, East St. Louis, Missouri, unknown age. And he thinks he picked her up near St. Louis.
Okay.
And then unnamed black female, and just fucking per what we just literally said, get this. Either 1976 to 1979 or 1993.
Wow, that's
that window of time or this specific year. Happened in one or the other. In Houston, age unknown, but he sketched her.
Oh, okay, sorry. Didn't mean to laugh, but it's like, wow.
And then I wanted to throw this one back in here because this is good news. The Macon County Jane Doe, Yvonne Plus. He's not necessarily 110% tied to her. It's not been DNA confirmed, anything like that. But he's believed to have been her killer. And she was identified. So that's exciting. So we talked about her in the last episode. But
yes.
I just wanted to throw back in that there's hope.
There is hope.
And my next one, we also have a solved Jane Doe.
Oh, good.
And I have a really hard time saying this word, so you're not alone tonight, Mom. Escatawapa? Escatawapa? Escatawapa.
I like
Jane
that.
Jane Doe. Especially with my eyebrows racing as I'm saying it every single time. I'm like, hey, I think this is it. This might be it.
So is that where she was found?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so she was found December 1977 by some hunters near Mississippi Highway, and she was identified as Clara Birdlong in 2021. And a medical...
And what year was she? 1979?
1977.
77.
And in 2021, she was identified.
Okay. Well, at least she was identified.
Yeah.
It's just bothersome.
Yeah, it is bothersome, but at least they figured out who she was. A medical examiner back then found that they believed that the remains belonged to an African-American woman with a small stature with a distinctive front gold tooth, and she was possibly wearing a wig, and she was likely killed 3 to 4 months prior. And over the years, there were several attempts to identify her, including, you know, like the facial reconstructions, coming up with computer composites, DNA analysis, trying to build that, but none were successful until January of 2021, when Othram, a Texas DNA research facility, was contracted by Mississippi authorities to create a family tree based around her DNA. Wow. And there was a hit for a possible distant cousin who was living in Texas. And this investigator spoke to the cousin, who then talked to her 93-year-old grandmother, who said that Birdlong, she was born around 1933, that she went missing in Lafleur County, Mississippi, in the 70s. And a woman who was also in the county where the family members said that Birdlong went missing in, she said she remembered that the woman who left the county in the 1970s with an African-American man who claimed to be passing through Mississippi on his way to Florida.
Sounds like our guy.
Yes, yeah, sounds like our dude. So we do know that obviously he had an MO, but her cause of death is still unknown. Her like official cause of death is still unknown, but we can just assume it's strangulation.
Okay.
And I'm going to switch my two little notes around right here and give you this piece just a little first. Remember how I said that they found her body in December, but they think she was killed 3 to 4 months prior?
Yes.
Well, he was arrested where her body was found in August of 77 for petty theft.
Okay.
So he was obviously there.
Right.
In that time frame. And maybe it was 5 months. They don't know. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe. Or I guess August would be 4. Whatever. I don't need your faces.
I'm just thinking because also it gets cold.
Yeah.
And, you know, bodies get preserved. And so it's harder to be able to tell.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a quote from him. And this is kind of, I think, this is related to when they were talking about this case in particular and what he had to say. So I thought it was important to throw this in right here. About how you keep saying, like, he keeps, you know, he's in this place and 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 he's back in this place. And this is his quote. I'd go back to the same city sometimes and pluck me another grape. And this is what he said in an interview with investigators from the Washington Post. How many grapes do you all got on that vine there? And then he added that he would avoid people who he knew would be immediately missed. I'm not going over there into the little white neighborhood and pick out a little teenage girl.
I have nothing.
Yeah, he's a fucking piece of shit.
Right? Grapes. I'm picking grapes. I'm going to go back and get another grape.
Yeah, it's so fucked up.
So that's his, like, he's dehumanizing them.
Yeah, well, I guess is maybe the only way you could live with your own self at the end of the day.
Yeah. Dehumanizing them. They're just grapes.
They're just grapes to him. He's throwing on the side of the road.
And I love grapes, so I would never do that.
Me too. I love me some grapes. Some gripes.
Some gripes.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, he sucks. Our next one is an unnamed black female, 1977 or 78, from Cleveland, Ohio, or found in Cleveland, or he was in Cleveland when he confessed to this one, whatever, or believed he was in Cleveland. Her age is unknown, whatever.
Sorry. I'm just like he believed he was in Cleveland, but he may have been in Georgia.
Right, basically.
And it may have been 1977, or it may have been 1997.
We don't really know.
He doesn't really know.
Her age is unknown, but they're still authorities are working on her case right now.
That's cool.
On June 2nd, 2019, she was identified as a black female and petite, somewhere between 20 to 35 years old. He had dumped her body down a grassy slope near a fence in a wooded area off of Interstate 271 in Willoughby Hills, Ohio.
Okay.
The body was found in 1983. So we do know it was before that.
Okay.
On March 18th, according to the National Missing Persons and Unidentified Persons System, NAMIS, they believe she was actually 17 to 24 years old. But that's still not a lot of information on her.
And it's not confirmed, any of it.
Nope.
But they're working on it actively.
They're actively pursuing this one.
So that's cool. I like to hear that.
I know. Well, these are so many to like. Keep track of too. And there's not a lot of individual except for like the Denise brothers. Like she had 17 fucking news articles, right, that I could find. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of these other people, it's like if you try and search unnamed black female 1982 Florida Samuel Little, it's like, okay, you're just getting a full list, unsorted, of all of this information. So I tried to make the best of what I could out of this.
Understood.
I don't remember if I already started to introduce this one, but unnamed black female, 1977 to 78 in Plant City, Florida. Age unknown. He believes he met her in Clearwater and then he sketched her.
Okay.
Unnamed black female, 1977 or 1982, one or the other.
Jeez.
Charleston, Georgia. She was about 28 and he sketched her. And then Patricia Parker. She was found September 28th, 1981, along I-24 and State Highway 229 in Hooker, Georgia. And she was found nude. And Little stated that he had met a woman at a bar on 9th Street, which was later renamed as MLK Boulevard in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he claimed to have strangled the woman after driving her to a secluded area in Georgia and then rolled her corpse down a hillside. Police inferred the slope was steep based on Little's observation of the long distance that the body stayed in motion. And she was a Jane Doe until 2020. And so she was 30 years old. So she was another, but there wasn't a specific Jane Doe name for her.
Okay.
That's why I just introduced her with her name.
Okay.
She was just a, quote, Jane Doe.
But then they identified her.
And, yep. Yeah. And I was able just to say her name straight out the gate.
That's nice.
Yep. Unnamed black female, 1980 to 1984, Gulfport, Mississippi, about 22 years old. That's some of us is all we got.
I know.
I just or we have that he brutally raped her and whatever, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to.
Gotcha.
He strangled them. We know that for a fact.
Right. Strangled them all. Raped some of them.
I think it's more important to throw this out there in case you knew a person who maybe went missing around these areas in this year or in this time frame and could have been possibly this age. For us to just throw these things out there.
I don't disagree.
Unnamed black female, 1981, Atlanta, Georgia, about 30 to 35. I'm sorry. My notes, I had it backwards. I had 35 to 30. She descends in age. Must be nice.
Right. Must be nice.
And he sketched her. And then an unnamed white female, 1982, New Orleans, age unknown. He sketched her. Unnamed white female, 1983 to 1984, approximately, in Atlanta, about 26 years old. And she may have been from Griffin, Georgia. And he sketched her.
May have been.
May have been.
Okay.
These next two are kind of confusing. I don't know if they're the same or if they're different, but this is what I have for the next two bullet points. Unnamed female, 1984, near Columbus, Ohio, age unknown. Her case is actively being worked on, but he disposed of her in Northern Kentucky. And then the next one is unnamed white female, 1984, in Northern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
He maybe picked her up from Columbus, right? And he says, so unless he just swapped roles and
right
went back and forth between the two.
Another grape.
And he sketched her.
Another grape. I don't know if it's worse.
That he dehumanizes them personally?
No, I mean, that's terrible. I was just going to say, I don't know if it's worse when, like, this guy doesn't remember dates or where he's at versus the killers who remember every single detail. Like, that it was a Tuesday and it was sunny and it was July 12th. 1977.
I don't know. And I can't think of any serial killers who have that like in the bag.
I think some of them do.
Who?
I don't. I feel like Ted Bundy pretty much knew where he was at and who he killed when.
I feel like Ted Bundy must have kept some sort of a record, though.
That's what I'm saying, though.
But yeah, he kept a record, though. This guy just is memory work.
But even still. I just like.
I'm like, let me defend my serial killer. He did this all from memory. Oh, God.
Gross. I just don't know which is worse.
Yeah, they all just suck.
They do all suck.
I was say, I don't know if we have to pick worse. They are just all terrible. Unnamed black female, 1984, Atlanta, Georgia, about 23 to 25, possibly a college student. And he sketched her. And then Priscilla Baxter Jones. 1984 to mid-90s, West Memphis, Arkansas. She was found in the Mississippi River. She was 36 years old. She had been raped, strangled, and stabbed. So that's our one that he changes. He stabbed her, if this was him. Again, not confirmed. Her son last remembers seeing her on Christmas Eve, 1996. So that's why his timeline is off. Because this is what he believes, but this is like actually the last time someone in her family saw her. She was like, I love you, son. I'm going to see you for Christmas tomorrow. I'm like, yes, ma'am. I'll see you tomorrow. Next day comes. Nobody heard from my mama. Day after that, nobody heard from my mama. And that's from her son.
That's heartbreaking.
So years later, her son saw the sketches floating around Facebook. And he was like, right away, that's my mom. And especially when the picture of Samuel Little was next to it, he was like, oh, shit, my mom and him knew each other, and I've met him through my mom.
That's a horrifying moment.
Yeah, it is. It's fucking horrifying. Like, he remembered meeting him.
Yeah, and he finds it on Facebook.
Yeah.
A drawing that he knows is his missing mother.
Right.
Wow.
So fucked up.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
So he confessed to this crime, though. But again, we don't know the years of this one. This isn't one that they're just like, oh, this is possibly him. No, he confessed to this one. But this is just goes to show, you know, her son was like, no, I last saw him or I last saw her in 1996. And he's like, well, it could have been any time between 84 or the 90s, mid 90s.
Right. He's got a huge window.
Yeah, he does. Our next unnamed black female, 1984, San Bernardino, California. She was about 18 to 24. And then unnamed black female, 1984, Fort Myers, Florida, age unknown. Unnamed black female, 1984, Tampa Bay, Florida, age unknown, but he sketched this one. And then our next one is Frances Campbell, 1984, Savannah, Georgia, approximately 23 years old. So he's suspected of asking Campbell for a date at a bar near the intersection of Montgomery Street and Victory Drive. And her body was discovered in 1985 on top of a pile of debris from the construction of Interstate 516. Savannah police matched Little's description of Campbell to a missing persons case. And then they basically indicted him in late 2019 for her murder.
So this is one of the ones he was convicted of.
He was indicted for it.
But not convicted.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
My knowledge is all I could find were the first eight that we talked about.
No, that makes sense. And you got to figure, they have to run with all of this information.
And figure all of this out from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They get one carrot and they have to go find the whole bag of carrots.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This guy sucks so bad.
Yeah, he
does. This was like so exhausting to research too. Like this took a lot out of me. I'm like, I mean, not that any true crime case is easy to research or talk about, but this one was just like there. I just see so many things and so many ways that all of this could have, should have, would have been prevented had he have stayed in jail.
That's where I keep going back to.
It's just so fucked up.
It's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
So many victims that were.
It's so grossly fucked up.
That could have not been victims.
Yeah. So grossly fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Our next one is an unnamed black female, 1987 to 1990s, Monroe, Louisiana. She was about 24 years old and he sketched her. And then our next one is an unnamed Hispanic female. Here we go again, Mr. fucking hot tub time machine needed bastard. 1988 or 1996.
Jesus.
In Phoenix, Arizona. She was approximately in her 40s. And she
wasn't 15 to 50?
Nope. Like the one in, what was it, the first episode or the second episode?
Second episode.
Yeah, fuck. He's crazy.
Yeah.
He believes that she was native to the area and he sketched her.
I like your summarization. He's crazy. Yeah, he is. He's crazy.
He's
crazy.
He's delusional. He's a piece of shit. He's a bastard.
He's a lot of.
He needs, like I said, just fucking hot summer day. Get some gum stuck to the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah.
I know personally that ruins a fucking day.
You're really stuck on this gum on the shoe thing.
Yeah, it happened to me not that long ago.
Clearly.
And I'm still mad about it. And I want and him to clearly. Suffer in my misery for my lost pair of shoes. So our next one is Yolanda Joan, 1994, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, approximately age 26. And then this is one I was talking about from the L.A. stuff, which this is the only one of the suspected L.A. murders I put in here. Just because we already covered them in all their brutality. But I don't think I covered this one. Okay. So, quote, Alice, unquote, 1990 to 1991 from Los Angeles. Black female, about 40 to 45. And yeah, I just couldn't remember if I covered her or not. So double mention if I did.
I don't recall that one.
I don't recall the name Alice either. But it's funny because I've seen it several times. I just don't think I put it in there. And I don't know why.
It's okay. Because you got a lot going on with this one.
Yeah. Trying to capture all 93 of them, which I don't think I did.
Yeah. I don't know how you could. Especially when there are so many unknown.
Yeah, and lack of research.
Mm-hmm. Not lack of research.
Or not lack of research, lack of information.
I feel like you have not lacked in research.
I feel like I haven't either. I know some weird details about some of these things that I feel like are just not common. Like, I had to do some true digging for them. But, yeah, this one sucks. I'm sorry, I keep saying it. It just sucks. It's a soul sucker.
It is.
I'm going to start Game of Thrones tonight, and hopefully that makes me feel better. I keep being told to watch it, and if in the first 10 minutes I don't feel better, Desperate Housewives it is.
Well, I think you have to give it more than 10 minutes. But I didn't think it would be my kind of show, because I'm not really into fantasy, but it's not really, it kind of, but never mind. Okay, I'm going
okay,
off.
Okay, True Blood. Roberta Tondorich, either Tondorich or Tondorich, 1991, Akron, Ohio.
Akron,
fuck! Why? I'm literally a geography minor, too.
I don't think I would have announced that.
But my geography minor is not like, oh my god, how do you say places? It's like, or put them on the map. It's like, no, let's learn about some cultural diversity and some, what's the first world country versus the third world country? Akron, Ohio.
Never came up in class.
Never came up. She was 34 years old. She went missing on September 1st, 1991. And her body was found September 30th, 1991, in a wooded area of the Firestone Metro Park. Forensic anthropologists at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. are working on her case to determine her cause of death. So that's pretty neat.
That is really neat.
Although, pretty sure we can assume it was strangulation.
I bet we can.
Yeah. This guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Unnamed black female, 1992 to 1993, North Little Rock, Arkansas, age unknown. And then our quotes, Anne, 1997, Phoenix, Arizona, white female, age unknown. And then he sketched her.
I can't believe how much he gets around, too.
Yeah. He's a drifter.
Yeah. And I just keep thinking, where does he get gas money and stuff? Not that it's relevant and or matters, but I have a job and I couldn't travel this much.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. And especially some of these times, I feel like you couldn't pump your own gas either. So, like, how are you even going to rip that off?
Yeah, sometimes. I think, I don't know.
Sorry. It's okay. That was just a total fucking brain blurb.
Yeah, well, mine too. Where does he get gas money? Like, who the fuck cares? Me, clearly. Yeah, inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, where does he get oil? His oil changed. Like, so many different things. Is he changing it himself? A man of multi-skills, murdering people and going on to living his own life, changing his own gas? Or changing his own oil? Can he even feed himself?
Probably not.
Probably not.
No.
He sounds like the kind that somebody else wipes his ass.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to reiterate one more time, we've talked about all the confirmed victims, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of episodes 1, 2, and now 3, we've talked about a lot of the suspected ones. If they weren't on the confirmed list, then they're suspected. And a lot of them are unknown as well. Unnamed. Not totally confirmed to be his. He wasn't indicted, XYZ. He's just confessed to 93 murders.
But the police don't think that he's lying. They think he's legit.
Yeah. They think he is legitimately being honest.
Okay.
Because of the details that he's given in some of them, that it's like, oh, this is a Jane Doe, and it matches that detail.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That only the killer would know. This isn't public information.
Gotcha.
Yeah, again, tried to keep this one Swedish just to, you know, a little bit on the less sour side, because this whole series has just been depressing for me.
Yeah, me too.
And I just wanted to share the knowns and not spare all the awful details.
Okay.
So Little, he passed away December 30th, 2020, from diabetes and a heart condition.
Good.
Yeah. Fucking piece
of
shit. I hope
he suffered.
I hope he did too. So I found this article, and this had me rabbit holing on this article. It's from a journalist, Jillian Lauren, and she interviewed him. And I'll also, this is going to be the very first thing on our show notes. So if you want to read this, it's a several page long article. I only took snippets because, like we said in the beginning, Denise Brothers is probably his most well-known victim.
Mm-hmm.
And this article is from The Cut, is the source. And it's titled "The Serial Killer in the Quote Less Dead." The only reporter who's talked to Samuel Little tells how he was caught and why he almost got away. That's the title.
Almost got away 19 times.
Almost got away fucking yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
Till he didn't.
Yeah.
Till they got him on narcotics charges.
Right.
Shit. That's to my point. They care more about people with narcotics than they do people murderers. Who fucking rape and murder. And
right.
Truly awful shit. Somebody wants to fucking take black tar heroin and kill themselves. Fucking let them. Put the rapist back in prison.
Yes. Agreed.
Sorry, that came off totally wrong. Not that anybody should do black tar heroin. But...
You 10 know out what of I mean. 10, don't recommend.
But you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. That law enforcement's focused on narcotics versus a murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucked. So I do want to just highlight some things from this article. Okay. So she started the article off by talking about how she was talking to one of the sheriffs who got him to do all of his confessions.
Okay.
And another sheriff, another police woman, I believe, was like, I only grabbed like the skinny from this and then took away the things I wanted to or only memorized the skinny of it for this, for the purposes of our podcast.
Okay.
But anyway, that one of like her proudest moments was arresting Sam Little and nobody talks about him. So after she was interviewing these two police people, then she was like, I want to know more about Sam Little. And so then they became like pen pals, I guess.
I think a lot of reporters do that.
So they can get the inside goss. So he maintained his innocence the entire time, you know, while he's in prison with talking to her. And then he said when they finally met, she said, "Hi, Sam," when she finally got to go see him. And she also said that she brought a bag of quarters because that's all they would let her bring in there. Into the jail or into the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought him Funyuns and Little Debbie's, the sweet honey buns.
Okay.
Because those are the things he wanted. So she bought those for him from the vending machine.
Well, you got to give something to get something.
Yeah, basically. So she said, "Hi, Sam." And he said, you're my angel come to visit me from heaven. God knew I was lonely and he sent me you. Want a story? Oy, do I have stories.
Wow.
And then he went on to speak about his early life and his teenage mom abandoning him on the side of a dirt road as an infant. And
which is not corroborated.
It's not corroborated at all. And his longtime girlfriend, Jean, who is a master shoplifter. He talked about
the one that died of cancer. Yeah.
Yeah. That was like 20 years older than him.
That was the cellmate of the girlfriend that...
The ex-girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, the cellmate of the ex-girlfriend that he flipped... That she...
Flipped and helped lessen his case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, real solid person.
Yep.
And he talked about his almost prize-fighting career.
Okay.
And...
I forgot about that.
And how part of his family tree was like Malcolm X. Okay. And all this stuff. And he then told her that he wanted a TV, to which then she replied, "Well, everyone wants something." And he said,
sorry, I'm over here nodding. I'm like, and then what?
And then he said, "Yes, they do. So you're going to buy me the TV?" And she said, "Well, what do I get for it?" And then he started talking about a murder, which he said she was a big old blonde. Roundabout turn of the new year, 1969 to 1970, Miami, Coconut Grove, she was a hoe. And then he corrected himself, a prostitute. She was sitting in a restaurant booth, red leather, real nice. She crossed them big legs in her fishnet stockings and touched her neck. It was my sign from God.
This guy.
Yeah. And this is more from... This is a further quote from the article.
Okay.
And with that, he began to tell me about the women he'd killed. He thought he remembered 88, give or take a few, he said. He told me about a couple dozen of them in astonishing detail as, over the next month and change, I sat with him for hours every weekend while he took me back through his past. And when the road was his home in the back alleys and underbelly bars of the cities across the country offered a feast of low-hanging fruit, women whose eyes were half dead already, women who little believed had only been waiting for him to show up and finish the job. He imagined himself as some sort of angel of mercy, divinely commissioned to euthanize. At least sometimes he did. Other times he told me he believed he was the devil.
Wow. I was thinking that when you said that, when you just now said that he said that their eyes were already half dead. So he's in some way justifying that he's like doing them a favor because they already have a miserable existence and they don't want to participate in life anymore. So he's just going to take them out, which is not your choice.
Yeah.
You don't get to make that decision.
No, you don't get to play God.
No.
So fucked up.
Yeah.
So he then went on to tell her about the murder of Denise's brothers, which she also talked to Denise's son, Damien, but she actually had three sons, Dustin and Damien, which lived in her parents' home, which was her childhood home, because she was unable to care for them. Because like I was saying, she was had a pimp and she was a prostitute and addicted to drugs. And then her youngest son, Derek, who was placed for adoption because she was too far gone on heroin to take care of him.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's horrible. So sad.
So sad.
So this is from Jillian. This is a quote, a very long quote. On the night Denise died, Dustin and Damien were probably tucked into their beds. As Damien told me when I visited him in Odessa this summer, he would often read a comic book under the covers with a flashlight, waiting up and listening to see if his mother was going to try to break in again like she did on Christmas, stealing whatever presents she could carry. He wanted to catch her in the act, he said, or maybe he just wanted to see her, face. And he said that he knew his mom felt guilty, but it didn't stop her from doing it again. You hungry enough, baby? You do what you need to do. As long as there's a tomorrow, there's always another chance. I'll get back those gifts, she'd assured him. She usually did get the gifts back. And they usually forgave her, especially Dustin, whose life would spiral downward after the loss of his mother. He was shot to death outside of a strip club at 21 by a still unknown assailant. And then this is Sam's Little's accounts to Jillian about the murder, that she gestured him, that this is Denise. Mm-hmm. She gestured him to pull over and let her in his car when she was on the way to see her pimp. And then this is a quote. In short, he bought a bunch of crack and black tar and heroin for Denise, or black tar heroin, sorry, for Denise and her pimp, who joined them to get high. Afterward, the pimp cheerfully patted Denise on the ass and left her with little to pay the bill and trade. She asked what Little said to Denise, and this is what he said. I told her I was an artist. She was a spicy one. I told her I could draw her so pretty like Van Gogh. He cracked himself up with that one. I told her she was beautiful. I said, I love you. And this entire rest of this is what I'm going to read. It's just a quote. Just quotes from the article. He told them all that he loved them. He said, I wonder how it sounded to them coming from this trick they just met. Maybe it sounded strange and sad, but also sort of sweet. Or maybe they just wanted him to shut up and get it over with already. And then he pulled into an alley, he said, and as she prepared to give him a blowjob, he grabbed her by the throat and tossed her over the back seat like a doll, where he strangled her with one hand while masturbating with the other. When she fought, he fought back harder, because killing was synonymous with sex for him. Little said he made the encounters as long and slow as possible, often letting his victims repeatedly regain consciousness. The last time Denise came to, her head was in his lap and her eyes big as marbles, big as yours right now, quotes that he said to her.
No kidding. I'm over here like, oh my God. I can imagine sitting there listening to it.
He told her, or this is what he said. I told her, I own you. You're mine forever. She cried and he kissed the tears from down her face. He then squeezed the life from her. Why do you feel you need to own women? I asked. I wanted their helplessness. All I ever wanted was for them to cry in my arms. Denise cried, I said. And if it was all you ever wanted, why didn't you just let her live? Well, you got me there, he said. Maybe it wasn't all I wanted. And that's the end of our Sam Little episode.
Okay.
It's the end of what I have.
Okay. I feel like I need closure.
Closure how?
I'm just kidding. He's dead and it's over. And
yeah, I mean, you know, if any more of these Jane Does come back up, granted, you know, I feel like we might not necessarily, we'll have to do some digging for it.
Right.
We're not just going to readily hear about it in Colorado.
Yeah, we unless... don't even hear about Sam Little. I never even heard of him before, and he killed all these people. And actually, I do think that you ended it very nicely when he, the reporter said, quote, maybe that's not all I wanted.
Yeah. I thought I tied that into a nice little bow.
I like it.
Like I attempted to do. Like I said in the first episode, I'm going to try and wrap this all up in a pretty little bow at the
end. I like it. I mean,
although it's not pretty, but.
Yeah. Well, and me saying I like it. I don't know. It's all bad.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible.
Except for your delivery was good.
Thank you. Well, I tried. Like I said, this one kind of tore away at my soul, bits and pieces. I'm like, the fuck? What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all I got for you, what the fuck?
That was like when I did Junko Furuta.
Yeah.
That was like...
Well, and it's so creepy, the pictures of him. He looks dead behind the eyes. I mean, like, as... You know, I guess somebody would that is doing all these horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks dead behind the eyes. So who is he to say that, oh, I kill these women because they already look dead? Like, no, you look dead. Kill yourself.
Right.
And save everybody else the trouble.
And he's using drugs and he's making choices that he assumes people want him to make. And yeah.
Yeah, he's fucked up.
I don't like it.
I don't either. But anyway, highly recommend that article if you want to...
Yeah, I'm going to read that article. You're going to link it in the show notes, so I'll be able to.
I'm going to link it in the show notes, and it's in our Google Drive also.
Oh, hey, I have immediate access.
You have immediate access to that. But so will everybody else after this is posted.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will throw back in the two pictures of the two women, Mary Jo Payton, I believe, and Rosie Evans, who I missed on the Instagram post like a dumbass. I literally had them saved in my phone. And did I just include them? No, I didn't.
Okay.
So I have
those. I think you can forgive yourself.
I just feel stupid.
Well, you have the opportunity to make amends.
I do have the opportunity to make amends. And I will do the best I can do for this upcoming one. And after this, Mom, you're taking the wheel for 5 episodes straight.
Okay. No pressure.
This is my 5th episode straight. So after this, you got it. Well. Have a good night. The Nuggets won, in case you're wondering.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the Nuggets did win.
But yeah. Oh, wait. Where should they follow us?
Oh, shit. We left all that out last time, but we were in a rush to get to the game.
We were in a rush to watch the game.
Yeah. Follow us at That's Disturbing Podcast on Instagram.
Yes. She got it.
Yes, finally.
And do all the things you do on the gram. We just gave each other a high five across the room. It was kind of nice. We don't sit directly next to each other because we don't want to hear each other in our microphones.
Yeah, we got, as you guys may or may not have heard, we got those new mics and they're super sensitive.
Oh, yeah. If a mouse farts, you can hear it.
Yeah. Editing is super fun.
Mom, where should they fill out a case request form?
Our website at thatsdisturbingpodcast.com. Oh, fuck. Go ahead.
thatsdisturbingpodcast.com. https://www.thatsdisturbing.com. www.thatsdisturbing.com. That's Disturbing Podcast. Fuck! I fucked it up too!
Okay, Miss Perfect.
You could also send us an email, which I prefer if you would just go online and fill out the case request form, considering I spent hours building it, but like it's really fine. I'm making sure it worked.
Clearly.
We just have a pity party over here. No, I appreciate the like ones we're getting on Instagram and stuff as well.
Yeah.
I'm just like, somebody look at it, please.
We did get one.
We did get one, and we still need to do that.
We do.
Yeah, you need to email her back.
Okay.
Let's
not do this.
You need to pin her down.
I do.
We actually want to get her on with us. If you're listening, you know who you are. And... we don't have a Twitter or Facebook. I was going to be like, oh, yeah, those things, too. We don't have any of those things. Yeah, it's basically just the website, the Instagram, and the Gmail.
All right. Well, I think that's basically plenty.
Basically.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.